On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
Hey, you know what? I don't know if I ever gave you the kudos. I like the shortened intro.
For sure.
I like the way it comes in with the crescendo. I like it.
Yeah, it kind of dragged a little towards you. I liked it at first, but then, you know, you hear it 125 or so times.
Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Like a punch in the face.
That the Leafs deliver to the Pittsburgh Penguins and the hockey world. Rob's been drinking to cope with his irritation ever since.
God damn it.
Yeah. I've been celebrating ever since.
It's funny how we use the same vehicle to cope with two very, very different things.
I'm sure people would expect nothing less. I just wanted to do kind of a morning after Old Bluey.
The jubilation.
And there was a scene outside of the Air Canada Centre as people were showing just how little success the franchise has had over the last, 50 years or so. Getting in was a big deal. The building was jumping last night. Our Matty Lang was there, had himself a ticket, said he's never heard the place so loud. A sentiment echoed by some of the players, which, again, is a little sad.
Well, because they're all 12.
Yeah, it's true. Connor Brown was in grade 8 or something. He said when that 2013 loss to the Bruins happened. Now he's scoring the game-winning fucking goal. Man.
Against the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Penguins.
Yeah. Largely, we're talking about the Wilkes-Barre Penguins with Phil and Sid.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Parachute a couple. And of course, both managed to score goals. Fuck, but Phil Kessel was getting booed all night. I don't get that about Toronto fans.
Well, because nobody wants to see somebody go somewhere and it's fine.
Successful.
Yeah, even though you trade him, you're like, oh, and then Fat Phil, Fat Filthy Phil,
Hot Dog Loving Phil,
goes, oh, and he just wins a cup.
Yeah,
and was totally integral in terms of that line he was on.
Yeah, pretty good playoff run with the HBK line.
Yeah, so you know, I get
it. It's funny though that Leaf fans are stupid. I know you'll agree with that. That
woohoo!
They'll,
present company included,
for sure. No idea, no interest in whether or not the guy demanded to leave town was traded against his will. We're booing him.
That's short-sighted, big time.
But it happens with the Jays. It happens with the Raptors.
I think it's because Phil is gross-looking.
My breath, eh?
Yeah, it's terrible. It's bad, eh? No, but he has that sort of permanent 5 o'clock shadow thing, and he's not your typical, look at that, sporting god. No, he's just
like my cousin.
Yeah, exactly. He looks like, again, that after that talked about, I'm going to unroll the carpet. Hey, look, what is that? Oh, it's Phil Kessel.
It's Phil. Hey.
I opened the cottage and I unrolled the carpet. Look, there's somebody in there. It's Phil Kessel.
So at this point, cards on the table. We are recording this on Sunday afternoon before the Leafs have played their final games against the Blue Jackets. Ottawa locked into second. Toronto with a chance to get to third place and either play the Sens or...
Yeah, Leaf win.
Or
you
overtime
get, we
loss.
We get you.
Yep.
Oh, a Leaf loss. And... No, I think...
No, only need 1 point. We're tied right now.
Well, you are tied. So a point will do it.
Point will do it.
Because being tied isn't good, right? They have the row.
That's right. Everybody does.
Okay, well, except for Ottawa.
Right, somehow.
Ottawa is one back. Well, because we have a pile of shootout wins.
That's right. And that's one of the things I know that you and several people have used to, oh, it's all your loser points. You flip that around and go, yeah, it's all your fucking loser wins that matter so little that...
Okay, but it's loser wins.
Yeah, no, I get it. These are the rules you want to win,
and,
right?
And to
within
me...
Within those rules.
And to me, I would be happy to say, don't make it a row or a row, whatever you want to go with.
Why don't they call it row? Everyone keeps saying row. It's R-O-W.
Yeah,
why can't we call it a row?
But make it just an R. How about regulation wins?
Yep, agreed.
Call it an RW, if you will. Just regulation wins. If to me, that's more important.
Well, especially now that overtime's a 3-on-3, it doesn't resemble the game at all.
No. And so to me,
it's super exciting. Like, I hate 3-on-3. I hate 3-on-3 in the sense that, to me, it's no different than the shootout.
Well, and I don't know how
it's
going. It's
wicked exciting.
I don't know how it's going in Toronto, but I see in Ottawa now, they're doing a lot of soccer style. Hey, if shit's not going well, pull it back across the blue line. Yeah. Into your own zone, if you will, pass it back to the goalie.
Well, we've seen a lot of like two centers go out, take the draw, you hopefully win it back. One's going right to the bench, right? Like little things like that. Or guys coming out just for the draw, right? Like for us, Brian Boyle, come out, take the draw, win it back. Gardner will go circle back behind the net so you can get Marner on
you're
or something,
shit.
Right?
We're not doing anything with you, anyways.
He's been a key pickup, but not a guy I want to see in 3-on-3.
But Brian Boyle, you got to know it as Tampa's pouring it on, right? Trade away Boyle and you trade away Fula.
Yeah, that's right.
And all the injuries.
Bishop.
Yep. Oh, the Bishop. and then they start to go on this huge run. You go, that's you, Boyle, you fag.
Oh, God. Sorry about that, folks.
Yeah, you're willing to punch Carlson in the face with your gloves on, you big fucking goon.
There's some leftover resentment from his New York days, I'm sensing.
Yeah, clearly, that's it. And you go, oh, you deserve to get punched out.
I'm not saying this to be – who won that series?
Yeah, the Rangers. The Rangers won.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
See, but – and to me the beauty is – and excuse me, Leaf fans, just for 1 second.
Yeah, yeah.
As we cruise down this
– Red Mile.
Honestly, scintillating – okay, well, that's my own take on it. Right, so game one, right? The Ottawa's and...
What year is this? 2012, 2013? Like, it's a while ago.
2011?
Yeah, okay.
And so there's... Ottawa's got a lineup without any toughness, really. Neil's not in it.
Where's Matt Carkner?
Yeah, okay. Carkner's not in it either.
Okay.
Right? And so they didn't dress him.
Right.
And so Boyle's out there, and he's grabbing Carlson. There's like a... I don't know, 8-inch discrepancy between the two of them.
Little feet are just kicking.
Yeah, and he's just – and Boyle is sort of face washing and punching him in the face with his glove on. Right? And it just – yeah, and Carlson's –
oh, stop, you sweet talker.
Yeah, this is it. And Carlson's like – like you said, and Carlson couldn't have been more than 20.
Right.
Right? And so – and then the Rangers won that game 2-1, whatever it was close. And the next game they said, yeah, you know what? We're putting Carkner in the lineup. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, 2 minutes, 3 minutes into the game, Carkner approaches Boyle and says,
you want to go?
We're going to go. And Boyle says, yeah, no thanks. And Carkner says, oh, sorry. Did you think it was an invitation?
Okay, I'm going to go.
Gloves are off and I am punching you in the face repeatedly. And big tough boy, because he's a big man.
He is a big man.
Crumpled on the ground and Carkner's still just punching him. Carkner takes the 5.
Yeah.
Boyle gets none.
Nice.
You know?
I'd like to see some more of that.
Hey, we've already punched you in the face a whole bunch of times. You've already, sir. You can't get out of here. Labia on skates. Get out of here.
Shit in shoes.
Yes. And so the Rangers scored on that 5-on-5, but Ottawa won that game. Honestly, it was outstanding.
Temporarily.
Yeah. Okay, you know what?
Vigilante justice.
That was a 1-versus-8 seed match, right?
Yeah, it's... And I don't think, like in all the things that Boyle has brought to the Leafs, that type of toughness isn't part of it, right?
No. Oh, okay, and
but as you stated, I know he's running around because he can, right?
Yeah, and I know that that's not a part of Brian Boyle's game, right? And don't misunderstand, right? You come to appreciate him, especially in his Tampa days, and now for what Toronto acquired him for.
Yeah,
he is an outstanding. Are they using him in the fourth line?
Yeah, the problem is people think fourth line and they think Goon fighter, and you go, yeah, it's 2017, right? Like not really anymore, right? I know, not you specifically.
Yeah,
right?
Not at all.
Penalty
right?
kill guy, face off guy, defensive guy.
Strength down the middle, man. And if he's on your fourth line as your center, you're doing all right. Like that is, he's been on teams, whether it's those Rangers teams or the Tampa teams, conference finals, playing in cup finals.
Well, I don't remember what the exact number is, but he's played in more playoff games than anyone since 2012 or something like that.
Well, yeah.
Right? Just being on those.
Due to those Ranger teams.
Ranger team and then went to the final.
As they
Tampa
started
went
to decline.
Yeah.
Right. Well, they were, I think, the same. Conference final, final.
Yeah.
Tampa, final, conference final. Yeah. Right. Like that's.
Chalking up games pretty quick, right?
Right. So.
Even if you're not integral.
Super useful. And because of his size, people go, oh, he should be. But he's not. Nope. He's not that kind of player.
Right.
Right. And so. I'm just saying the little hate on you get for him. I certainly appreciate him as a player. Right?
So there is a reasonable chance, as we've stated, and when you most of you listen to this, this will already have been determined. But as you start to look at possible matchups, and there is only two left for the Leafs, it's either Ottawa or it's Washington. You start looking for those threads, right? Like what's left? Like in terms of the old Toronto-Ottawa playoff rivalry, fans remember it way more than any of these
Chris
teams
Neal.
Do, right? He's the only guy left, and he's not going to play.
Nope,
I wouldn't think.
Nope. I'd be very surprised if he was fighting for ice time.
Well, especially now Clark MacArthur's back and they've picked up Burroughs and...
He was fighting for ice time before they picked up Burroughs and Stallberg.
Stallberg, yes.
Don't forget about Didi, right? Chris DiDomenico. Oh, wait, you did. Yeah, so did we.
So did his agent.
Yeah. And Jyrki Donnanpäkka. All those sorts of things.
All
right?
of them probably getting nice time today in
For sure. For sure, man. In Brooklyn.
Yeah.
No, Neal will play today. I don't anticipate Neal seeing any playoff action. And people are saying, well, what if we play the Bruins? And you're like, yeah, you know
so?
What? So what?
That's got to be able to play.
Yeah,
right?
That's not. Well, and he can forecheck, he can skate still. But he is not going to help us the way that Wingles or Stallberg can on that fourth line.
Right.
Forget it.
Right.
So, yeah, no, Neal will play today, and I think that'll be his last game as an Ottawa Senator.
Talking about reasonable chance he can move right into management, that they want him to stick around and be a part of the franchise. But
Yeah. But to me, he's with a 1,000th game, as soon as that he hit that 1,000th game, it sort of went games played. Right into the toilet. So, to me, and you want to talk about the threads, and you want to talk about we've been a hot and cold team. Win six in a row, lose five in a row, and now they've taken seven out of 8 points. And
yeah, look no further than the last 2 weeks, where they were in second place, battling for first, fall almost out, right, like down to fourth or whatever it was. And now finished locked in second again, right? Cold to fall down, hot to come back up.
Well, and we talked about this on a very recent TCS, right? And when you look at when you start, and it seems to be very prevalent across the league, streaking in both directions.
We're going streaking.
Yeah. We're streaking the quad? Who's following? where are you in the standings when you start those?
Yes.
And because Ottawa was in second and honestly spent a day in first in the middle of last month. And so slump into the fall, not out of the playoffs.
No.
Still in.
Yep.
Turn around, get hot a bit, right back up. Where it's those teams in the bottom half that made it very in reality, all the hand-wringing of both cities, Toronto and Ottawa, man, they're both going to be in like they have been for the past.
Yeah, both
Ottawa all
always
season.
Had it in their own hands. And like I was going to ask you, and you kind of just answered the question, Ottawa's been comfortable for most of, at least the second half of the season. I don't remember where everybody was in the first half.
Honestly, all season Ottawa's been in.
Okay, so there had to have been a little trepidation when they did tumble down a little bit here in the last 2 weeks. And you go,
okay, and you're missing your top 3D.
Yep.
Right? You're missing Zach Smith and Bobby Ryan up front. You're just we are down. Craig Anderson had let in, honestly, there was a five-game stretch where he had allowed at least a bad goal a game.
Yeah. But it's no more than like 8-9 days ago where they were the ones holding the second wild card spot going, maybe we're the ones who have to hold off Tampa. And you got, then you win three in a row and you go, ah, fuck, we're good.
For a day. Yeah, for a day. We drop down into that and you're like, whoop, hey, it sucks to be down here. My ass is totally exposed.
Again.
Yeah. Oh, it's out here in the wind. Yeah, no, it, for sure. And you know what? I enter the playoffs with, depending on who we play, and because we are sort of pandering to
a blue audience.
A blue audience. I don't want to play as a Senator. I fan, I have looked at it for the last month and thought, yeah, I want Toronto. Toronto's a team I'd like to play. The way we've played lately and our inability to score, and most importantly, since the middle of January, we have the worst PK in the league.
Yeah.
I don't really want to see the Toronto power play. We can't score on our power play, and we sure as shit can't stop anybody else's. And I'm talking about we can't stop Carolina's.
Right. Oh, dear.
Well, and they've been good.
You a-ho.
Yeah. So to me, I that would be a huge difference in that series. We have unhealthy D right now. Now, they say everyone's going to be back.
Show title.
But, yeah.
Unhealthy D.
So.
Star.
Yeah. So, to me, if you look at, now Anderson has now allowed two goals in his last three games, right? He seems to be entering the playoffs in the right way.
Right.
We'll have everyone back. Will everyone be game ready? Our PK sucks. Our power play blows. You go, hey, I want to play the Bruins.
You really are pandering to a blue audience, right?
Man, but really, that's what it comes down to is we don't score well enough to intimidate anybody offensively. We have to play the system, and we have to do well on special teams.
When you start to look at these possession numbers and some of the fancy stats, man, the new coaching staff in Ottawa, oof, not looking good in those regards. Now, that's never been the case with Boucher and the way he – but they're a 43% possession team, which is near the bottom, right?
Right.
And now they play a good system.
If you look at those possession numbers without Carlson.
Yeah.
They drop. Yeesh.
Yeah, exactly. So they've – obviously, they've been successful. They've finished in second place.
But, 98 points.
You know, you're kind of looking, is this the system or are we a bad possession team, right? Like, and maybe both are true. Maybe.
Well, and they absolutely need to have stellar goaltending.
Yeah.
To me,
they're capable of getting. But,
well, both guys. Yep. Honestly, we have two guys with more than 20 wins. We have two guys with more than five shutouts apiece.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and acknowledge the fucking elephant in the room. It's like 15 degrees here in Ottawa today. Out at the other end of the studio, we've got the sliding door wide open because it's hot. And there's been a car alarm going off. I'm hearing it through my headphones. I don't know if everybody else is, but
yeah. Well, I'm hearing it, but I don't
care. Always every now and then get a little feedback. Did you record this in a fucking bus terminal?
I count it as an endorsement of what I'm saying. See, there it is again, man. There it is again. Say, you know what, that guy? That's true.
Woo.
Yeah, look at that guy. Speak it the truth, baby.
So as we circle a little bit back around to this is. Well, let me ask you, because if anyone's going to give the Leafs shit, I have a willing participant here. Did the Leafs making the playoffs in 2013 in a shortened season, does that count, or is this the first time they've made the playoffs since 2004?
No, it absolutely counts.
Yeah.
You can't take away.
Now you got to ask the cup winner from 2013.
Exactly.
Right?
Does that count?
Yeah, right.
And really, it's all those things.
But so this is the first time.
You're playing the same number of games that everybody else is playing. And
right. But when you look at the Leafs, it's always been late season where they go off a cliff and they sliced off the late season and everyone's like, yeah. Right. So it's an interesting debate. I think based on everything that happened after that season was a fluke, but it does count. You got in and you.
Yeah, and you know what? Sure it is. You're ready to do your Leaf hijinks. Right, late season busts.
Yes.
Oh, wait, we only have to play 44 games or whatever it is.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're in this.
Yeah.
Right? And then, dispatched in one. Get out. All right. Well, there we are. We got in the playoffs. Look at you. Oh, right. High five.
Oh, right. Reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and then you go right back to sucking.
That's what we do, man. So first time in a full season since 2004. And so when you think back to what a half of these players were doing in 2004, suckling at their mother's teat or whatever might have been happening at that time. And so you sit here now.
Suckling teats.
Whether you want to look at it as first time since 2004, whether it's once in the last 13 years.
Can't be any hair on those teats.
Oh, God, you'd hope not.
Well, we are talking to a blue audience here. Fat guys.
Suckling at dad's teeth.
Yeah, exactly. In a Vinnie Domfus jersey.
Whether or not, you know, no matter how you want to spin it, it's been a while.
That's how
right?
I choose this minute.
And so Leaf fans have been fed for decades shovelfuls of shit. Your team is terrible, and Leaf fans are stupid for continuing to support them. And so for the last 24 hours online and in different places, they're having a good time. They're living it up, and they're celebrating.
Are they,
now
feeling,
you're getting,
are they feeling righteous? And
well, no, but I think you're looking at all those same people who have been ripping you for a decade, and now they're saying, act like you've been here before. But we haven't, right? Like, not only are we're here like with a reasonable chance of something building for a couple of years. When you looked at that team in 2013, you kind of went, man, good thing Reimer's been good, right? Like, there wasn't a ton of future there, and now there is, and you got in, and it's a different kind of feeling. And you go, these people who hate Leafs and Leaf fans, and I get part of it is the nationwide media coverage that irritates other fan bases.
Hey, did you know, and honestly, it crept up on me and came as a complete and total surprise. There's three rookies on the Leafs this year. Did you know that?
Way more than that, man.
Man, I had no idea that there was all these rookies playing in Toronto.
But like,
get the fuck out of here with all that coverage and shit. Hey, guess what? First time a Leaf rookie masturbated post-game this late in the season.
No way that's true.
That's what, honestly, everything is a, do they have all this same bullshit stats for sophomores?
Well, and I'm going to ask you about that in a second. Like, what happens if six guys all have sophomore slumps next year? But
I masturbate on a regular basis.
At center ice of the ACC.
Wherever.
No, it's just
purple,
one of those.
Where, it's angry. It's, yeah.
It's angry. Let's not ask for any clarification on that. Do you, like, Leaf fans can't fucking win, man. They're hated no matter what they're doing. They're hated when their team sucks. They're hated when their team's decent.
It's true. It's true.
You just go, you fed me shit for a decade, and yeah, I'm going to celebrate loudly right now in your face, right? And if it's Ottawa, I might celebrate loudly in your fucking building. And like,
okay, you know what?
I've seen people before. I'm going to let you have it, but I've seen people already online on what day did the Sens clinch? Friday? Thursday?
Thursday.
On Friday, I saw a guy on Twitter say, I just bought Sens playoff tickets with the hopes that by the end of the weekend they are Leafs playoff tickets. And then $400 he put was the, man, that's a hell of a gamble to.
Well, he'll sell them.
Oh, sure. I think he'll, well, I don't know with the attendance in Ottawa in the last little while. But
oh, no, the attendance has been quite good.
Well,
the second half of the season.
17,000 for the Red Wings, and you're locked in a playoff. The only reason I remember that is because the person put the number. That's 1,100 under the average for a Tuesday night all time in Ottawa, and 1,400 under the average for Detroit all time. Now that's skewed a little because Detroit used to be good, but still below what they normally bring in on a Tuesday for Detroit, right? So
yeah.
I agree. He'll sell his tickets and whatever. But there are people, Leaf fans in Ottawa going, I don't care. I'm going to buy the tickets now and hope the Leafs get
it. Right? Like, so it may have been last Saturday night. Leafs were in Detroit. Does that sound right to
you? Yes, that's right.
How many Leaf fans do you think were in Joe Louis last Saturday night? A metric shit ton, I would suggest.
Yeah, I was going to say probably 5,000 or 6,000, like,
or more. Honestly, so the sound of the I just sort of watched the third.
Yeah,
and the sounds of
a couple things at play there. Right,
the two late Leaf goals.
Red Wing fans have given up on their season because it's been terrible.
Oh, but if you listen to some of the talking heads, they say, "Oh, Wings fans are the best. They never give up. They never boo their fans."
How would we know? they've been awesome for 20 years. So.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, that's always a place that Leaf fans can easily get to, and their team is still right in
Ottawa, Buffalo. But that's the first time I'm really aware of hearing it in Detroit.
Yeah, it's been like that for the last couple of years. But okay. during Detroit's prime, it wasn't. Like, you couldn't get enough Leaf fans down there to do it. But yeah, the Leafs play home games in a lot of places right now, right? Like they
like Blue Jays.
Yeah, for sure, like Blue Jays.
Right? Fans travel, and especially in those places close where they can buy up tickets.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I felt a little better.
Oh, Ottawa wasn't the only place overrun.
Yeah, because you know what? This just in, and you know what? I'll just give it to you, Leaf fans here in this. We hate it here. And, yes. And there's a lot of self-loathing that goes along with it.
Well, it's happening right now. Like there's a guy, his name's Sens Nation on Twitter, and he's pretty funny. He's a blogger. He's, you know, pretty good coverage of the team. And he's not necessarily like, obviously he's a Sens fan, but he points out when they're shit
it's sucking.
But he's repeatedly over the course of the weekend been quoting Ticketmaster or Canadian Tire Center, get your tickets here, and he's flat out saying, "I blame you if this place is full of Leaf fans." On when this comes out, it might turn out the Leafs are playing Washington, but that's the kind of thing that's already happening here that's just saying, it's on you. Like, you can stop that from happening.
Yeah, and it is.
Yeah.
And you know what? I haven't – I'm sure that game's already sold out. I'm sure the first round is sold out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Probably.
Okay, yep. And I haven't – I've been busy with my own life, and I haven't bought a ticket. So to me, if I cared enough, I'd make sure.
And I'm taking up a seat that a Leaf fan could
have. Two of those seats are mine.
And I'm punching out some Leaf fans around me.
Yeah, well, you know what? And and that is in my nature.
That's in my nature.
But I hate that. To me, I've gone to you to games, right? I've gone with Leaf fans to games, right?
Yeah.
And to me, that's the beauty of sports. Man, I'm going to revel in kicking your ass on the ice.
Yeah.
And I'm going to shout and cheer. I hate violence in the stands. Honestly.
Right.
To me is.
Yeah. I like
you don't got enough shit in your life.
I like a different colored jersey than you like, so I'm going to fight you.
Right. And so to me, this isn't, I don't want it to become like British soccer.
No.
Or Brazilian soccer. Soccer.
Yeah, in general.
Period, right?
Fucking hooligans.
Well, this is it, right? And so, to me, yeah, and I know you weren't suggesting I was actually going to punch out Leaf fans, but to me that is...
Although it wouldn't shock me.
Okay, but yeah, I've lived my life a certain way, and we've all paid for it, or we haven't, and I've done my... Yeah, anyways, this is just... Yeah, this is it. I just, you know what? It comes down to, yeah, man... Show up, and if you don't win, suck it up. As I said to you, man, I was just in Montreal recently, and I was very vocal in support of the road team. And unlike Leaf or Habs fans here in Ottawa, there's maybe 500, maybe 1,000 Sens fans in the Bell Centre.
Yeah.
And I'm taking it, right? I'm just getting shouted down, right? And so... Yeah, you
I
know
got
what?
A but that bucks to see that.
Yeah, well, and that's okay though, right?
Sure, it is.
And
to how me, it's supposed to be.
And that's what. Yeah, I'm going to show up in your barn, and you're gonna shout me down.
Yep.
That's it. And you go home at the end of the night, and you go, "Fuck, my team sucked."
Back me up, guys.
This is it. Honestly, I felt let down. I paid money.
I
went on the road. Honestly, I was with an 8-year-old too, and I felt like she. Was working harder than the guys on the ice, right? And so, yeah, you feel like I'm paying money, I'm traveling, I'm showing up. What are you doing?
Do you think there's some kind of irony, or does it make sense to you that both, like, you've said kind of that you don't want, well, not that you don't want Toronto. I don't think Sens fans are afraid of Toronto, but that maybe it's not a great matchup.
To me, right at this moment, it's not a great match. For us.
And so I'm a little surprised by that because it seems most of the Sens fans that I follow online seem to want Toronto over Boston.
Hey, check me 2 weeks ago. That's where I was.
Yeah.
The way this team has been going, the penalty kill has been terrible all year, right?
Yeah.
And when Guy Boucher came in here, they talked about the system and they talked about what a power play and specialty teams genius he was.
Right.
He was a guy who under Pat Quinn in 09 at the World's Juniors
yep.
here,
yep.
he ran the power play and the penalty kill. And it was lights out.
That's where that umbrella thing started that the World Junior teams here in Canada ran for a while, right? But
that's Guy Boucher.
Yeah.
And so they brought him in, but the specialty teams have been horrendous. And so to me, I'm not sure. I know the Leafs are top three, I think, in penalty in power play.
I think it's at number two right now. Yeah.
Okay. And so to me, whew, that's a recipe for disaster.
And especially in a series that's likely to be chippy. But it's interesting that so many Sens fans, and maybe you're not amongst them, although you said 2 weeks ago you were. You guys, are you not 4-0 against Boston?
Yep. Well, I want Boston.
And we're 4-0.
Hey, I want Boston.
At one point had that opportunity. And even then you're going, I think I want the Sens.
Like, yeah, okay. If I were you, I want the Sens. But to me, the way Ottawa matches up, and you are now looking, and I haven't got an update. They were saying after the Ottawa-Boston game the other night, Torey Krug
yep.
out.
Yep.
Hey,
yeah,
your D is already leaking.
Questionable.
Yeah, and you know what I hear guys like NBC's Pierre Maguire saying, hey, they're going to bring up Charlie McAvoy. Oh, watch him.
You're going to burn a year of.
Yeah, okay, and they're going to burn a year in what? You're going to bring in an NCAA guy who's going to come in and be an impact like Torey Krug and his 50-plus points? I don't think so.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, so you know what? I want that matchup.
Well, because there was someone else who went down on.
Hey, and so Boston under Cassidy, I think, has lost 4-5 games. Hey, guess what? 3 to Ottawa.
And all of them to playoff teams. When they were running up hot, they were beating up. Now, you're supposed to beat those teams, but when they were saying all.
Win the winnables, beat the beatables.
All the Boston wins at that point had come against teams outside of the playoffs, and all the losses had come to teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Cassidy came on, it was on record saying, you know what, I don't want to play Ottawa. That doesn't fit us style-wise.
And no one wants Washington. So.
Oh, okay, well, that goes.
Sure, and you guys have avoided it, and it's still, you know, I spent more time on the potential matchups than I wanted just because this will be decided by the time it's posted. But it is, that's where we're at right now, right? That's this time of year, there's a lot of hand-wringing about, you know, Leaf fans for an hour were super excited, and now you're going, okay, so Anderson's healthy, but they're not going to play him, and now McElhaney's going to play, and we need this game. We don't want to play Washington. If we win, we can you get greedy in a hurry, right? I sent you a text not too long after the game ended. It's, yeah, fuck, okay, we're in. Now I want a point tomorrow, right?
And to me, the analogy was, and you're like, oh, well, if I look back and think in October, if this was an option that 2 days left, we'd still be. And to me, the analogy is, if somebody was saying to me, hey, in April, we're going to give you $1 million. You just got to make it through to April, and we're going to give you that $1 million.
Yeah.
And then comes early April, and you go, yeah, you know what? Yeah, we're not going to give that to you. Sorry about that, but it was nice to think about it, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I never thought I was going to get $1 million, and then I did, and now I'm not.
Yeah.
Well, of course, when you think you're going to get it, you're fucking stoked.
So trying to weed through all the crap as we wind this down, obviously everyone but Leaf fans are sick of all the coverage, sick about hearing the rookies, sick of it all, sick of Leaf fans in general having something to be happy about.
Yep. I'm in that boat. Very, very clearly I'm
vocally,
in that boat.
Yes, I'm aware. Is there something, if you can get your head around all of that, what are the Leafs right now with their pretty good goaltending, terrible blue line and awesome up front, all these rookies breaking all kinds of point records for rookies and this and that?
Really? I hadn't heard
what
that.
Is, yeah, I know. And what is the perception from a fan moving forward, knowing we're in this division for the next decade together?
Yeah, I hate it, to be honest with you.
Through non-blue goggles, this looks like the beginning of a core that could do damage.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, to me, I'm looking at, and I'm hoping, if through non-blue goggles, right, and if in all those moments when you are as somebody with blue goggles on.
It's true.
I'm hoping that Anderson sucks. More than is great.
Well, if people keep knocking him out.
Okay. And so to me, I'm hoping that they develop a bit of a Flyers thing here, right?
Where okay.
You can never get a – now, Anderson's been not bad this year, right? He's had moments of inconsistency, but he's been good enough with an offensive team with, five guys with over 50 or 60 points.
Yep.
Good enough and good enough to mask some of the defensive issues.
Yeah,
to me, the up front, the core, it scares me, really, to be honest with you. As somebody in the division, now not scares me long enough that I'm overly concerned with what you have versus what we have and what we have coming.
Sure,
I like where we are. I don't think you're knocking us out.
No,
but to me, you are certainly strong moving forward and getting stronger.
We're knocking Boston down,
Detroit,
pushed
Florida,
down.
These sorts of guys, right? And you, those guys are getting pushed down. I don't think. As we progress now, goaltending for us, similar situation, right? Anderson is 35; he's not getting any younger,
right?
Right, and so we need to solve that problem there. But you look on D, what Ben Harper's done in this short little.
If you don't like my fire, sorry,
I don't know what that was.
That's not Ben Harper. Don't come around. I'm gonna burn one down.
It's probably a different Ben Harper, but.
Yes, it's probably different.
So, but Harper,
what if it's
honestly,
not?
So somebody's, and to me, it's perfect. So Harper is a guy who's 6'6", 225, right? And somebody said, hey, that guy looks like Jared Cowan.
Oh, no.
With mobility.
Oh, what's that look like?
Yeah, okay.
The only Jared Cowans I've ever seen.
Are
lack mobility.
Immobile.
And the immovable object.
So to me, you look at that, and with Shabbat coming and the emergence of Freddie Claesson, ready Freddie Claesson.
United and Fred.
Yeah. So he is, honestly, to me, what looked like a spot that was hard for us or weak or thin moving forward.
Plus, you got Dion for like six more years.
Okay. And you know what? Dion's been a stud this year.
Had to be. Well, at times, right?
And you look at it, lately we've had no CC, no Mathot, no Carlson. And you got Dion's playing upwards towards 25, 27 minutes a game.
That's normally when he used to get into trouble with us.
Okay.
Around 20, he'd be fine. You start creeping up.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, and he's played most of the season in around that 18 to 20 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, that's normally where he's.
And he has been now overpaid like he was in Toronto.
Yep.
Right? Overpaid here, but man, he has overachieved or at least surpassed Senators fans' expectations, right? Of what we were going to get from him.
Yeah.
Right? Man, solid leader and tough to play against down low.
Well, and you stop looking at him with that Leaf fucking, you know.
Well, no, to me, and we talked about it last year and when he was a Leaf still, right? On this show, we've covered it and I've said, yeah, he's a great 3-4 guy.
Yeah.
Oh, but he's being paid as a 1-2 guy.
Whoops.
Right. And so that's still that and I can't distance myself from that now that he wears my jersey.
Right.
Right? He is still wickedly overpaid.
Sure he is.
Right? But yeah, and like he was in Toronto, you're paying him for a bunch of different things that don't always reflect on the ice. And I think the way he prepares, he's super fit. Right? He's a glue guy.
Brings a hot wife to the rink.
Right, man. Hey. Who doesn't need that? So to me, I don't know how we got back onto the Senator stuff. Yeah. It's what I do. but to me, I'm hoping, because now, you know what? Do I like the chances of all of your guys, Kadri, Van Riemsdyk, Marner, Nylander, Matthews, all having similar seasons next year? And I know every Leaf fan likes to think that that's just going to roll right through and you're going to get a little better next year and forget about
around the every Leaf fan. Yeah, we talked about it. The sophomore slump hits four guys at the same time. You're in wicked trouble.
Hey, what if it hits two guys?
Yeah. No, and JVR and Bozak both having career years. That's not happening again.
And what about Kadri?
Kadri, yeah, you know what? I've said on this show before, I'm not the same Kadri fan that a lot of Leaf fans are.
But
I don't expect him.
But he's had a great season
for sure. He has. I don't. the talk of him winning the Selke was ridiculous on the face of it.
Ridiculous. Throw that right in there with fucking Marchand winning the fucking Hart Trophy. And ridiculous.
Kadri's got over 30 goals.
Yeah.
I think
that's true.
If he gets you 20 to 25 again next year, that to me is where he fits.
Okay. So if he gets 20 to 25 and those other guys take a 15-point step back.
I think I'm going to count.
That was the exclamation mark. Okay. Fleck.
Yeah. Yes. I'm counting on that from Marner and Nylander. I don't think Matthews is. I just think it's clear he had a year of pro, even if it was a short season.
Yeah. And so tell me now, what do you think? Do you think all this talk of Matthews, McDavid?
No, McDavid's the better player.
Okay. But do you think that all Blue Nation feels that way?
No, but I don't know. Do you think all of Red Nation thinks that, I don't know where I'm going to go with this, right? But yep. Burns, Carlson, Doughty.
I'm taking Carlson.
I know you are, right? But he does some things better than McDavid does. But McDavid is clearly the better player.
What are those things?
From what I've seen, I like Matthews better in his own zone. I don't know enough about what McDavid does on the draws. But Matthews seems a little more physical down low.
He's a bit bigger body, eh?
Yeah, and he just is. He's got that put on a little. Like, I know he came behind him a year in the draft, but really he was only like a couple days short of being eligible for the same draft.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
so
good player, and obviously sure. Far exceeding what I'd said. Now, I said he's going to be like a Kyle Turris.
Doesn't look like that's going to be.
Okay, Turris 30 goals this year.
Yeah, okay. Matthews 40.
So. Great on draws. All I'm saying is,
and I like Turris.
And all I'm saying though is, what that is that's not that bad. That's not that bad a comparison, right?
No,
that is
no, it's
a,
not.
A third overall pick who is.
But I don't know why it matters, right? Like if you were Lemieux against Gretzky, right? And you go, Gretzky's the best player in the world. You go, well, then I guess Lemieux sucks.
Right, right. And you know what? I've had that honestly. I've had that very debate, and it's like, yeah, I like this. Mike, I have two kids, and I like that one better because. Right?
Yeah.
You love them both, and it just comes down to this.
Yeah.
Gretzky made other players better. Lemieux always was dynamic on his own.
Yes. And so I think what I said at the beginning of the season, you said maybe Kyle Turris. I was hoping high-end Anze Kopitar. You go, well, we've seen Anze Kopitar as a good enough number one center to win a cup if you build around him.
And I've seen Anze Kopitar shit the bed this year.
Yeah. Club close.
In my fantasy pool.
Yeah. So to me, that's kind of the deal, right? Like, he may never be McDavid. It doesn't look like he will. Maybe no one will be McDavid, but he's good enough if you build around him.
You know what? Interesting. And he's way better. And obviously, but expectation wise, they had the Bell, the Senators Foundation celebrity tournament this weekend, right? Which is you can enter a team and then you can select. In a draft process, each team gets to play with one former pro.
Okay.
So in past years, they've had Denny Savard, you know, like these sorts of guys show up. Gary Roberts.
Stefan DaCosta.
Okay, so this year, but no, like former NHL players. But this year, because it's the 25th anniversary, it's only Senators.
Okay.
Right? So they brought back, honestly, guys from like Randy Cunningworth has been here.
Nice.
Lance Pitlick. Like, honestly, guys from.
Tell me the Tugger's in there. Can you have him play goal for you?
Tugger still looks like he can play, man. Yeah. He's still fit.
Okay.
But so Alex Daigh is here. Okay.
Oh.
And so, hey, Daigh had a couple 25 goal seasons. Okay. But he is super personable.
You don't
right?
draft him high. Everybody's learned that, right?
Okay. So, but he is super personable, right?
Sure.
And so, and he's a great interview. And he's saying, yeah, you know what? I wasn't ready or committed. And I'm talking with the guy who came in with super expectations, yeah. right? Like that was...
Like intentionally tank all year. Make sure you
get
this. Dig. Can't
to,
miss.
This is it. Yep. The next Lemieux. Yep. He was going to be that playing yep. for Victoriaville. He was outstanding. And, you know, really a bust. And again, I say he had a couple seasons of 50, 60 points.
He played right up to like 09 or something. Like he's in Minnesota.
Not, yeah, and, yeah, he was a... I don't remember that, but...
Well, he hung around.
And he was saying, he's like, yeah, no. He goes, you don't really think about it at the time. He goes, but guys like Lemieux and McDavid, he goes, those are generational players. He goes, that's not me.
Right.
He goes, I got that label put on me. He goes, but really, he goes, I wasn't prepared to put the work in.
Right.
Like it was really just sort of from the heart, kind of a off-the-cuff thing too,
I'm
right?
I'm 40 now. I'm not 19, and I can look back and go, oof, yeah.
I wasn't even
that
nowhere.
Was not me,
and that's what he's saying. He's like, guys like that. And he goes, and you look at Matthews now this year. He goes, those guys are coming in, and it's huge pressure, and they're able to handle it. He goes, I couldn't do it. And he's like, honestly, he goes, this celebrity tournament for the Senators, he goes, you guys have been running for years. I've never been invited. He goes, 20 years, man. He goes, the same phone number. And he goes, nobody phoned me. He goes, come on, man. I'm not even getting an invite. No Yash either. So,
yeah,
you know
okay.
what?
Oh, you don't want to be in that category. But,
so, anyways, but I'm just saying, that's a guy who had that heavy, and he's saying, and it's only relevant because I just heard it 3 days ago.
Yeah.
Him saying, man, I wasn't, it takes a certain special guy. And he's saying, more than the skill that a lot of guys come out of junior or wherever you're coming from, NCAA or in Matthew's case, playing in the Swiss League.
Yeah.
Skill, physical skills are one thing. Where's your mental game at? And he's saying, that's the make or break. Physical tools with the mental.
Right. So last thing here, do you think as we talk about, okay, that can be your last thing here in a couple seconds. As we talk about Matthews and all the rookies and whatever, do you buy into the fact, as you know, you brought it up, the mental factor? Is it actually any harder, any more pressure to show up and have to do that in Toronto than, say, when Huberto had to go to Miami? Or
Of course it is.
And I don't know that I really – there's more reporters, but they're the same idiots asking the same stupid questions.
Yeah, there's one of them, and there's no fans who are – filling blog after blog after blog.
I guess
you have certain places where they have one dedicated group of losers who are running their own little whatever
Panthers
it is.
Nation. Yeah.
Yes. You look at Matthews having to roll into Toronto or whoever it may be, Price in Montreal, the pressure that exists on those guys in a hockey market. The media is just the physical media on hand is just one. It's just the tip of the iceberg. It's the expectations of fans who are now doing things like this.
Okay. And it's to me, it's not even so much the media. It's the fact that at every grocery store, at every...
This is what I'm saying is that is the media is just the tip.
Right.
You get 30 people showing up at your stall as opposed to the two, you know, from the...
Sure, but to me, that's it.
Orange County Chronicle, right?
But you're just going to turn around and go, well, we gave it 110%. We got pucks in deep and whatever.
I know. But you are looking at, and as you said, that one person from the Orange County Chronicle showing up there is represented by the one person every 15 visits to the grocery store who's going to recognize you versus the 30 people at your stall, which represents the 8 people every time you go to a grocery store who go, hey, aren't you Austin Matthews? Why do you get those fucking black rings around your eyes?
People keep punching me.
Yeah.
No, it's interesting, man. And I think, you know, it's telling to see that, you know, Nylander and Marner get over 60 points and have no shot at the Rookie of the Year title this year. It's been a unique group of... And we'll get into that in a future episode as we talk a little as we wind down the season and Rookie of the Year and other trophies and stuff. But
and other shit.
It's been an interesting season for old Bluey. And no matter what happens now, I think
Kablooey.
You get in and you go, for these kids, no matter what happens, there's going to be, even if they get swept by Washington, I think that's better than having that
five games to Washington.
Probably.
Yeah.
Rather than having that late collapse and now you're painted with that same loser label that everyone has, we got in and we got beat by a better team and now we've seen what it takes kind of thing instead of being another choke artist team.
Yeah, whoever Washington plays, they're beaten in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
They have second and third round choke written all over them.
Can't wait.
Can't wait, baby.
That's Talkin' Sports.
See ya.
This one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.